Well, good morning, King's Church. It's great to be back with you again. I'm really looking forward to be back in person. But for the moment, we've got to make do with what we can do. And for that reason alone, it's great just to join with you again today. We're going to look again at a psalm. I just think that the psalms say so much about people's situation and circumstances, and although they were obviously written thousands of years ago, unbelievably, but still speak right into our lives and circumstances today. And really want to just look at this just to encourage us, as well as bring some reality to situations and circumstances, because the Psalms really do encourage us. So we're going to look this morning at Psalm 126. It's not very long, just six verses. And it's one of the songs of ascents, which we have mentioned before, and we've covered one or two of them just recently. This is what it says in the ESV version. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said amongst the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts for joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Well, right at the start of this psalm, we see a deliverance so dramatic. It was like a dream. That's how it's described. Were we dreaming? And behind this wonderful release from captivity is obviously God himself. We need to remember right at the start of this psalm, right in the circumstances that you face yourself in right now, just it's good just to consider that God always comes through for us. But this was like a dream that you don't want to end. It's one of those times when you think, was it a dream or was it real? Because it's almost too good. And the psalmist wants to explain straight away what the result was. And we see in verse 2, that result was that our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with shouts for joy. And they said amongst the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. It was recognised further abroad, if you like, than just in the context that they were in. But we get this laughter, this recognition, this acknowledgement, if you like, with shouts for joy. And those around saw it. The Lord had done amazing things. We can remember times like that in our own lives. Maybe it was quite a while ago now. Maybe it was just recently. But nevertheless, we need to consider that God can do it. God is the real joy giver. God is the one who brings pleasures evermore. And that might not be the situation that you find yourself in at the moment, but there is hope, even in this psalm, that that is just around the corner. So how do we press in? Well, we recognise and we acknowledge that the Lord has done great things for us. It's good just to consider those things. A couple of weeks ago I was saying, remember, preach the gospel to yourselves, the good news, because it sets so many things in a different perspective. And these people were so glad that they were filled with laughter. They recognised, they acknowledged, they spoke probably amongst themselves. The Lord has done great things for us and we are glad. We should do that regularly. It was just that uncontrollable joy from God. It makes us obviously think, what makes you laugh? Perhaps at the moment it's not a time for laughing, it's a time for weeping, and we have to recognise that. Scripture obviously tells us, weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. And it's important to do that. But it may be some time since you really did laugh. And that's a sobering thought. By the time we've finished this psalm, hopefully you'll recognise that that laughter may be some way off, but it will return. And I guess you can tell a lot about a person by what makes them laugh. Usually it's just a very personal thing. Angela makes me laugh all the time, but if I tried to convey how she made me laugh, you probably wouldn't think it was very funny at all. Different people who call themselves comedians. Some of them I could sit there with a straight face and not even crack. I think, what's funny about that? And other times we can literally be rolling around. But remember, the real joy giver, the one who really brings uncontrollable, unrestrained laughter and shouts for joy, it says here, is God himself. They knew that they couldn't free themselves from captivity. Their oppressors were far too powerful for them, and that's what had carried them off into captivity in the first place. But God took action. God is an amazing God, and when he takes action, we have wonderful results. Consider for yourself even this morning. God has heard my prayer and he has taken action. Even when the action that God brings about is not deserved, God just stepped in and they were free. What a wonderful result that was. I was listening again this week to a hymn that I've sung hundreds of times and possibly even thousands of times. And yet it seemed really new to me. I heard it in a different light, even though I was absolutely familiar with the words. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. I want to tell you, that made me full of joy to remember again the salvation that God wrought in my heart when he brought again this situation of being born again, regeneration. Absolutely wonderful to consider. And I heard again in Charles Wesley's words just what it meant to him as well. It caused me just to read up some records from his journal. He does say, and I could say so much more than just a few brief words, but I will keep it brief. He records, I began a hymn upon my conversion, because he had been through some wretched times. He couldn't actually get there. He felt as if he had to do all the work, that God was only looking for him to get salvation by works. And that absolutely did not come about for him. But when he finally did get saved, he said, I began a hymn upon my conversion. The writer says, all the evidence points to this, and can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Absolutely amazing. For John Wesley, it was some days later that that realisation came to him. But again, it says that he had been to a meeting where somebody preached the gospel and the reality suddenly dawned on him that it was by the grace of God alone. Again, it's recorded, as soon as the Aldersgate Street meeting in London was over, John and several of his friends went back to the house where Charles was. Charles records, my brother was brought in triumph by a troop of our friends and declared, I believe. We sang a hymn with great joy and parted with prayer. And it's written here, this is Arnold Dallimore's biography, actually, of George Whitfield. But it says here, we visualise the scene in Bray's humble house, that's the friend. Charles, yet recuperating from his illness, rises to join with the exulting John, accompanied by many of their friends, and with rejoicing, each in heart, with gladness ringing in each voice, they sing, 'Tis mystery all, the immortal dies. Who can explore his strange design? In vain the firstborn seraph tries to sound the depths of love divine. 'Tis mercy all, let earth adore, let angel minds inquire no more. No condemnation now I dread, Jesus and all in him is mine. alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. What a great joy, and what a joy to think of our salvation, our conversion as well. Maybe you could take some time out to do that. And we too, we've got to have something to fill us with joy and laughter, delirious happiness. Friends, your deliverance was no less dramatic than Charles Wesley's and John Wesley's. My freedom from sin, personally, was just as sudden. Yeah, just as unexpected and absolutely undeserved. It was just the wonderful grace of God alone. So take a few moments if you need to. You can even pause this tape and remember this. And remember what it says, actually, in Ephesians 2. I was just reading it again just recently. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just like everybody else. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. What wonderful news. And that's the type of deliverance that these people were remembering. We were caught up, we were captive to sin, and Christ set us free. And the unexpected nature, if you like, of your conversion should make you laugh and shout for joy. Whoa, we've got a promise set before us, a hope set before us. And that should actually, in the long term, even though in the short term things may be difficult, that we have a wonderful promise ahead of us. In verse 4, and particularly if you are going through difficult times, and I know that several people are, restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. So in reflecting on this past glory and joy, he's prompted to pray for revival. He's prompted to pray for the good times to come again, the times of joy, the times when he knew the fullness of God, even though now things seem to have become difficult. He knows God can do it. His prayer reflects real life challenges, but prays that God would do something wonderful again. Now, it's interesting, this region of the Negev, it's an arid region. It's almost desert-like in the summer, and it's totally dry. But actually, when the spring rains come, apparently almost overnight, the dry streams fill up and it absolutely floods out in spring. And so, in other words, what the psalmist is praying here, that God's blessing quickly comes and fills up and floods into their life. How amazing would that be? Even overnight. Maybe it's as close as that, this wonderful joy that God is going to bring in the morning. Again, when I'm reading the Psalms, I often quote Derek Kidner, who wrote a commentary on the Psalms. And this is what he says. We have these two images of renewal in verse 4b and in verses 5 to 6. They're not only striking, they're complementary. The first of them is all of a suddenness, a sheer gift from heaven. The second is slow and arduous, with man allotted a crucial part to play in it. You know, the Bible is very, very real about our situation and circumstances. This is not some fairy story where God just waves a magic wand and everything becomes happily ever after. There's parts of it where we have to dig in, where everything seems so difficult. He sees life partially here as a barren desert and prays that it will spring to life overnight. And then as we get to verses 5 and 6, we see the practicalities of praying and working through situations. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev, that those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. This next stage does seem as if there's work attached. Perhaps it seems slow and difficult, like the sowing of a field and the planting of crops and the waiting for the fruit to come. And so he realises that it may be some time, but he understands that he has to pray. But as he prays, he must continue to sow. And often the results only come after much sowing and much hard work and not much to see for it. Whoa, I understand that in church life as well. And again, sometimes God comes at the most unexpected times. Sometimes we'll put a lot of time and effort into evangelistic endeavours. Nothing seems to happen. And then sometimes, somewhere out of the blue, we just get several people suddenly coming to faith. And that is a joy. But sometimes when it's more difficult that, and we're not seeing really what we feel as if we've put in, it can seem like we're going out and working fields and coming back with very little or no reward. It can seem like that in our personal life as well, when situations and circumstances come that bring devastation and grief to us. And yet the promise is here that things can change. And the psalmist prays, restore our fortunes like the streams in the Negev. And so often we understand that reaping and rewards come after weeping and heartbreak, and sowing and watering and repeatedly doing those things time after time. Like last week, there's also a waiting. The slow seems to come before the sudden, but God chooses a time. And notice he provides us with a hope during those tear-filled times of sowing and working. He can speak of hope because of his faith and his certainty in the faithfulness and the purposes of God, not least the promises of God. The promises that those who sow, even in weeping, their tears will be dried and turned into shouts of joy. Whatever it is, the field that you are sowing at the moment, the hard work that you feel that you're putting in, the prayers that you seem to be putting up there with little results, and certainly with tears, look to God's promises. And verse 6 brings them in part, but the fullness of that we will know. He who goes out weeping and bearing the seed for sowing shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing the fruit or the sheaves with him. The promise to you is that your labour is not in vain. Your prayers are not in vain. Keep sowing, even through tears. Keep sowing. Maybe those tears are for your family. Maybe for a certain situation or circumstances that you're facing right now. Hopefully your tears are for a revival to come to this nation, to come to this town of Selby. But absolutely for an amazing rescue, the type that only God can do. The type that seems like a dream, but becomes a wonderful reality. Keep sharing your faith with the lost. Even though you've maybe not seen results, keep on preaching the gospel to yourself each day. Soon you will reap a bundle of harvest. You'll understand that God brings joy indescribable. Your mouth will be filled with laughter and your tongue with shouts of joy. Because sowing always precedes reaping. I want to reap without the hard work. And sometimes I have to cop onto myself and say, Dave, come on. You've got to put the work in before the joy comes. And certainly tears mostly precede joy. And finally, we cannot end without looking at him who fulfilled these verses in his life and death. when Jesus got up early for his devotions, before the disciples arose and found him in a quiet place. He could have literally been studying this psalm in a quiet place, knowing that he would be the fulfillment of it. Luke records that when Jesus drew near Jerusalem and looked over the city, he wept, saying, "Would that you knew the things that made for peace." His heart was literally breaking. He sowed in tears. He went out weeping. And he sowed himself with tears through his death. He was the seed that went into the ground, that in its time bore massive fruit. We recall not long after Luke wrote that he also remembered Peter standing up, full of the Holy Spirit, preached, and about 3,000 souls were saved because Jesus had given himself. Because Jesus sowed himself with tears, even unto death. And those souls saved were just the start of something that would build up momentum and spread around the whole earth. So that some people exclaimed, "These men who have been with Jesus, they've been around and now they have come to us." Right through into the 21st century, when God's word has come gloriously to us and we have been transformed by the truth of it. And our prayer should be that many, many more will come, even in our days, and that the tears that we shed will be turned into shouts of joy. The weeping that we have in sowing seed will come with shouts of joy and fruit in abundance. Father, we just want to say thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you that amazingly you chose us. And when we think of that salvation, it should cause us, it causes me, to shout for joy. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Even me, who pursued Christ to death. Lord Jesus, we just want to say thank you so much for your perfect sacrifice for us. Let us never stray far from the truth of the gift of salvation. And let us continue daily to preach the gospel to ourselves and to others in every opportunity that you give us for your glory. Amen. Thank you so much, everybody. Hope that you have a really good week. Keep praying for each other. Keep encouraging one another. All the more as we see the day approaching. And in a couple of weeks, lockdown will be hopefully over and we'll be able to meet again. God bless.